member, official petitioner, commissioner from the Western Cape and your team.
Good morning.
I think we have to start now. We were waiting for the petitioners to come in. I can see now the petitioners are here. I think we have to start. The only people who are not here is the Western Cape government officials who were invited. So they decided to ignore or not to accept our invitation with their own reasons. So as Parliament, we'll discuss a comment about the way forward. But for now, we are not going to stop. We are going to carry on with the with this petition. This committee was there a long time ago. It's not the first petition that we're handling. I'm sure they are aware, even the department itself, for the petition that I tabled yesterday of Mrs. Fuzani, was admitted in Khayelitsha District Hospital and beaten by the nurses and died after that. I tabled that petition yesterday. Maybe, I don't know whether they undermine the National Council of Provinces, I don't understand. Or they think that the Western Cape is living in another country, not part of this government. Maybe. Nevertheless, honourable members, can we observe the moment of silence for prayer? Thank you very much. This meeting is official open. Secretary, is there any apologies?
Thanks, Chair. Chair, I've only received three apologies. It's from Honourable Mohape, Honourable Mateme, and Honourable Wana. That's all, Chair. Thanks.
Thank you very much. Welcome, Honourable Oliphant. We're only two members here, but we don't need vote. We'll vote when we're discussing when we want to adopt the report. My name is Dumisani Kwimbi. I'm the chairperson of this committee, which is Petitions and Executive Undertakings. I'm a permanent member, a permanent delegate from the Western Cape, originally from the Eastern Cape, but I'm representing Western Cape now here in Parliament. I'll ask Honourable Member to introduce herself.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, my name is Gladys Oliphant. I'm representing the Northern Cape, permanent member of this committee.
Thank you very much. Let me start with you, Commissioner, and if you can introduce yourself and your officials. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson. Good morning. Honourable members, colleagues, my name is Dr. Mwele Tilivallo, Commissioner in the Public Service Commission based in Northwest Province. Thank you.
My name is Leonardo Huisson, Commissioner for the Commission based in the Western Cape Province. And we have brought with us one of the officials, the Western Cape Director of the Commission, Mr. Paul Rockman Marat.
Thank you very much. Let me start from you, petitioner, all of you. We need to know each other here in the House. Dr. Vetboy, it's your turn, my brother.
Good morning, Your Honourable, and members of the Select Committee and observers. I'm Dr. Moses Vetboy. I'm a shop steward of Nauru, and I work at KDH, and I'm part of the presenting team.
Morning, Chairperson of the Committee and Honourable members of the Committee. My name is Unwe Tusikoko, the Branch Chairperson of Nauru in Khayelitsha District Hospital. And I'm also the petitioner to this committee.
We
Good morning to everyone. My name is Yablela Yamiso. I'm the Nehau member, Shop Steward.
Thanks. Good morning, Chair, and to all the honorable members. My name is Ben Saleni. I'm a nursing coordinator of Nehau and KDH. Thank you.
Good morning, I'm Abdurrahman Edinson. I am a Nehau member. I'm also the former HR manager for Khayelitsha District Hospital.
Good morning, everybody. I'm Sino Vuyor Takalachiya Sijadu from KDH of Kyoto.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Queen Khalani. I'm from Khayelitsha District Hospital. I'm a shop steward. I'm a treasurer. Thank you.
Good morning, everybody. I'm Emilia Malloy. I'm the Provincial Deputy Secretary of Nehau in the province. I'm also from Tygerberg Hospital, but I'm here as the member of the provincial office. Thank you.
Good morning, Chair. Honorable members. My name is Lunga Mambana. I'm an observer.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Tanela Konele Mtegazi. I'm a member of Nehau. I'm a former CBS manager of Khayelitsha Substructure Office.
Thank you, Chairperson. Good morning, everyone. My name is Ekimbu Ilua. I'm the acting DG for the Department of Labor. We're here per invite.
Good morning, Jefferson, and good morning, honorable members. My name is Manikolin Kleki. I'm the head of the Director General's Office.
Good morning. I'm Damaris Kilitz, and I'm the chairperson of the Cape Metro Health Forum and also one of the whistleblowers on KDH. I'm the chairperson of the Cape Metropolitan Health Forum and also one of the whistleblowers on the case of KDH.
Morning, everybody. I'm Felicia Lombard. I'm the communications person for the committee. Morning, Chair.
Morning, everybody. My name is Michael Ngwali. I'm a researcher in the office of the chairperson, NCOP.
Hi, everyone. My name is Ayanda, and I'm part of the Parliamentary Monitoring Group.
Oh. Hi there. My name is Sipogazi. I'm a journalist from the Sunday Times.
Morning, everyone. My name is Mary Jane Patele from Independent Media.
Morning, my name is Tembe Landongana from Ground Up.
Good morning, my name is Tseho Lepule. I'm also with Independent Media.
Morning all. Asanda Sokanyele, weekend August.
Hi, my name is Gerard Bantam. I'm from the NGO SWIT.
Thank you very much. I'm trying to be, we need to be free because I don't want anybody who's going to keep that thing young. Next to me is Secretary, a committee secretary Uganyiso Mkize. At the back there is Advocate, who is our researcher in the committee. Thank you. Then I think the apologies, the agenda. In the agenda is only one item, ladies and gentlemen. Only one item. Consideration of the Sigogo petition. The petition which is seeking the intervention of the NCOP in relation to the alleged cover up by the Public Service Commission regarding reported irregularities, maladministration, nepotism, fraud, poor working conditions, and victimization of employees within the Khayelitsha District Hospital. This is the item that we are going to deal with it today. And petitioners are here. I will repeat again. We invited the MEC, Chief Director, HOD, Director of Substructure, Dr. Phillips, Michael Phillips, Dr. Karwa, the former CEO, and head nursing Mashaba, and all of them, we received a letter. We want to be transparent. We received a letter from the office of the HOD, attaching the letter from the MEC, mentioning that they can't come. We have got no powers as this committee of parliament to invite them to come and account here. So it's clear it's like that, and they said they have got legal advice. So that is why they cannot see even anyone. They also, I received a call that they're also trying to intimidate nurses that we want them to come here. They said they mustn't come anybody here to come and to parliament to witness or to give us their story as nurses who are part of this hospital. Nevertheless, I will take this opportunity to give us to our petitioner to brief us why are here today, what they want to do. I'll start with you. Which one is going to start?
I will start first.
Okay, follow you, then Dr. Vodwe will come. Thank you very much. Your platform is yours.
Thank you, Honorable Sir. First, let me take this opportunity to thank the National Council of Provinces for giving us this opportunity to come and present our case here. Chairperson, you are here today as the House of Steward from Khayelitsha District Hospital. And as the House, we are the union as they that doesn't only focus on the issues that only affect the workers at the workplace. We also address the issues that affect the community. KDH was officially opened in 2012, and from 2012 anyhow, we've been participating in a forum called IMLC, which is the Institutional Management and the Labour Caucus. In that forum is where the labor issues, the issues that affect the staff, the issues that affect the community are being discussed. Since 2012, Chairperson, we've been participating to that committee until early last year, where it was collapsed due to the fact that management was not eager to engage with us anymore. And the Chairperson, we've been discussing quite a number of issues with management on that forum. I will take you, this committee, through three issues, and my secretary, press secretary, will take the rest.
Do we have a copy? Does it have different parts. Yes. Okay. The honourable member has got the report. Okay. Fine. Thank you. You can.
Okay. Thanks, sir. I'll address the issue of the IMLC. I'll address the issue of staffing or post. I'll address the issue of the employment equity. I'll start with the issue of the IMLC. As I have mentioned earlier, sir, that we've been participating on this platform called the IMLC with KDH Management.
Okay. I can see a member is... Member, do you want to... Do we have something in writing, what we are going to present? Yeah. Do we have your presentation? Can we ask somebody to make copy of this presentation quickly, and then all these members and others can get it, and also the Department of Labor can get it. Thank you. Can proceed. Thank you very much, Honourable Oliver.
Thank you, Chair. Chairperson, as I have alluded earlier, that is how we've been participating to the MLC at our institution. And how is the majority union there in that institution? And in terms of the organizational rights agreement, how by the virtue of being the majority in the hospital, it gives us a power to continue with the MLC, whether the other unions are present or not. But management in 2017, in June, they brought in this procedural issue that NEHAU can no longer participate with management to discuss the issues that affect the workers and the patients due to the fact that other unions are not there. And we did try to fight this with the management, but unfortunately, we couldn't get the right thing from the management. And later, there was an MLC training that was organized by management. And this issue was clarified that NEHAU has got the right to sit down with the management on the MLC because they are the majority. And after that, Chairperson, in September last year, NEHAU embarked on a picketing. And on that day of the picketing again, our members were intimidated by KDH management. But nonetheless, the picketing went ahead and our picketing was successful. And the memorandum was received by Dr. Phillips, the director of our substructure. Though before the picketing, we invited the MEC for health in the province to come and collect the memorandum. But she couldn't come. She delegated Dr. Phillips to come and accept it on her behalf. Then the memorandum was sent over to Dr. Gio Perez, the chief director of the Metro District Health Service. And he invited us to sit down with him to go through our memorandum on the next day after the picketing. And we did honor that request from him. We did go to his office and we discussed the memorandum. And we agreed on the time frame that after a week, he will come back to us with a response with regard to the issue that we've raised. And that didn't materialize, Honorable Chairperson. We only get a response from Dr. Perez after 3 weeks, whereby he sent us an email requesting to meet with us. And by that time, it was too late. Our members were already being intimidated again by KDH management, particularly the nursing manager, Mrs. Mashab, and his assistant manager, Mr. Blackies, with the help of the case Kailish Eastern Substructure Labor Relations Officer, Mr. Kazam Bob. After that, Chairperson, earlier this year, we approached this institution in a form of a petition, and that it was referred to the Public Service Commissioner to investigate those issues, and we accepted that assistance from this House. And the Public Service Commissioner did embark on that investigation. And the investigation, I think, was done earlier in April of March, if I'm not mistaken, Dr. Libalo. And let me be honest, Mr. Chairperson, that we are very disappointed with the outcomes of the Public Service Commission. We are very disappointed with the way in which the Public Service Commission did its investigation. Number one, all the staff members that we've mentioned with the Public Commission, they were never interviewed. The staff members that were victimized, that they were never interviewed by the Public Commission. The Public Commissioner only met with us separately and with the management separately. No ordinary staff members. The staff members that deal directly with the patients of Khayelitsha Hospital. The staff members that feel the burning issues, what are the burning issues on the ground of Khayelitsha Hospital. They were never interviewed by the Public Service Commissioner. And in their reports, Commissioner, sorry, House Chair, in their reports, we're very, very disappointed with their outcomes. Hence, that is why we've replied to their response through the office of Mr. Scholar, the one who was corresponding with us. We've submitted our response to their report. And I must put it to you, Chairperson, that the workers of Khayelitsha are being intimidated, even now that we are sitting here. They are being intimidated. Even yesterday, we were supposed to come with witness here today. They were supposed to come along with us, but they couldn't due to the fact that they were intimidated again by their management. And the Public Service Commissioner is here. In their report, they say everything is hunky-dory in Khayelitsha District Hospital, whilst it's not. Chairperson, I'll go through the issue of staffing and post at Khayelitsha Hospital. And then I'll go through the issue of employment equity. Then I'll hand over to my branch secretary. Firstly, on the issue of the post, this issue we've been discussing with Khayelitsha Hospital Management since 2012, since the establishment of the hospital, that stopped the issue of freezing of post. But that still is continuing even today. And we precisely raised that issue when I chairperson simply because it affects, it doesn't only affect the workers, our members. It affects the community of Khayelitsha Hospital. The community of Khayelitsha Hospital is us, is the working class. Because after hours, after 4 o'clock, the working class, they are then Khayelitsha community. And that's where they are getting the service from Khayelitsha Hospital when it comes to healthcare. That is why you are raising this issue when I comrade chair. That if freezing of both is result, number one, to the poor patient care of Khayelitsha Hospital. And as a result of poor patient care, our members are being blamed, the nurses are being blamed, the doctors are being blamed. Whilst the doctors they don't employ, as the doctor can go there to provide the service to the patient, as the nurse we go there to the hospital to provide a service to the patient. We don't employ ourselves. It's only the prerogative of the management to employ and dismiss people. But the service commissioner said, no, the management was right because they were implementing the austerity measures as directed by the national government. Number two, on that issue of freezing of post, they freeze their post or they take, let's say, we are five admin clerks. They take those posts of five admin clerks and they group them together and create a post of a specialist doctor. Tell me, who's going to work with a specialty doctor if there's no nurse, if there's no support staff? The medical specialist, they need the supporting staff. That is the nursing, the admin workers, and the cleaning services. So if you are going to appoint a medical specialist, it's useless. Who's going to assist to that field? Again, Chairperson, I'm repeating this again, that we are raising this issue simply because it does not directly, it does not only affect the workers, but also the community of Khayelitsha. The people of Khayelitsha deserve the justice, deserve better than this, what they are currently getting from Khayelitsha Hospital. Number two, Chairperson, still under the staffing and post, the issue of the irregular appointments. We've noticed over the past few years that there's quite a number of regular appointments at Khayelitsha District Hospital. And during the PSC investigation, we've cited 14 of those cases. Only 2 of that 14 were found to be true or correct. One of the cases that was the pending issue on those irregular appointments was the appointment of the PN specialist in maternity unit. That PN was appointed without producing a registration from the National Nursing Council.
Yes.
And that PN specialist, he became danger to the patient, in such that one of our members who was the youth manager to that maternity unit lost a grievance regarding the performance of that particular PN. Not just a PN general, a PN specialist, which this person was supposed to be championing the maternity issues on the labor ward. But that PN was ended up being coached by a general PN. A general PN was performing better than him. And again, the public service commissioner found nothing on that, though there was grievances lodged against the management, because what resulted in one of our members to lodge that grievance is the fact that the management was blocking her from taking disciplinary actions against that PN specialist. And Chairperson, let me go to the issue of the employment of quit now. The Khayelitsha Hospital is situated in a black community. But when you go in there to the offices where people who are in strategic positions, it doesn't represent that this hospital is in a black community. Starting from the substructure, going down to Khayelitsha Hospital, all the same. And we've raised this issue since 2012, that no, it can be correct that you are in Khayelitsha Hospital and we have a management that doesn't represent this community. And we raised these issues on several times, each and every day we had an MLC with management. Since from 2012, this issue was on the agenda. And the answer we'll get was that no, it's not up to Khayelitsha Hospital to decide on the issue of the employment equity. It's the policy from head office. But then okay, let's elevate this matter to head office. And one of the things that we've noticed on the PSC report, on their annexures that they have attached on that report, when we see the motivations of some of the managers that were employed out of equity, it's very sad, Chairperson, to see that a colored manager was motivated to get a post out of equity whilst there was a candidate, African candidate, who was in equity party due to the fact that, you know, that we as African, we know we were disadvantaged in the past. So we were very, very disadvantaged in the past. And by the fact that we were very disadvantaged in the past, we ended up not doing well in the interviews, you see. Mm. So, again, Chairperson, we say the issue of employment equity must be looked at Khayelitsha Hospital. Lastly, on the issue of the CEO of Khayelitsha Hospital, Ms. Mashaba. Ms. Mashaba has been appointed as the acting CEO of for Khayelitsha Hospital. And during that announcement was made by the MEC for Health, Professor Mpopo here in the Western Cape. She said the Khayelitsha, people of Khayelitsha, they want a black person to be a CEO of this hospital. Although we agreed with MSA in principles that okay, people of Khayelitsha deserve an African person to be a CEO, but not a person of a caliber of a Ms. Mashaba. We've complained several times about Ms. Mashaba. The PSC report, the name of Ms. Mashaba appears several times. We've complained about financial misconduct about Ms. Mashaba. We've complained about staff victimization about Ms. Mashaba. But instead of being disciplined, she gets elevated, she gets a promotion to be an acting CEO. Again, Chairperson, it was not easy to come here as in the House of Stewart. It has not been an easy journey. But we are not going to bow down to the intimidation of Khayelitsha management. We are not going to succumb. Whether they can dismiss us, they can dismiss us if they want to. Let me point up one issue, Chairperson. Let me bring it under your attention. After the PSC report was tabled, as the House of Steward, we were informed by some managers who still have conscience in their hearts that the Khayelitsha Hospital Management, they have got something called a hit list of seven people that must be dismissed from the service, of which myself and Dr. Vidboy form part of that hit list. And the two is gone already. Instead of addressing the issues, they want to get rid of the people who raise issues. Once you take them on, they look for anything, even if it's small like that, even if it doesn't warrant a formal hearing. They take you to the formal hearing to make sure that you are dismissed. And they have a specialist in that, the Labor Relations Office and Khayelitsha Eastern Substructure, Mr. Keza Mpopo, who's specializing in dismissing employees who stood up against Khayelitsha Hospital Management. Ms. Mdegas was dismissed from Khayelitsha Eastern Substructure for standing up against the Khayelitsha Eastern Substructure Management. Same applies to Mr. Shepard and Mr. Anderson, who was just recently dismissed from the service, just because they are no longer in good books of Khayelitsha Hospital CEO. They stand up against him. I repeat again, Chairperson, we are not going to bow down. We are not going to succumb to the pressure and intimidation of Khayelitsha management. We are going to fight until they do what is right. We want justice for the workers of Khayelitsha. We want justice for the community of Khayelitsha, the poor community of Khayelitsha, the working class, because that's what the working class is. Chairperson, thank you. I'll now hand over to my press secretary.
Thank you very much. Thanks a lot. If anybody have got a question, that must note it down. Thanks. But thank you. Over to you, Doc. Are there, and you said there are other witnesses were not allowed to come. Who is that? Do we have names of those nurses that are supposed to come?
Okay, thank you, Chair. We have Miss Melanie Warnick was also invited by the full committee secretary. She was also not allowed to come to this committee. We have Miss Melanie Bennett was also invited, but she was also declined the opportunity to come here. We have Mr. Sam Manga, and she was also declined an opportunity to come here. And we have two witnesses, but they are former employees now, the ones that I've mentioned that they have been dismissed from the service. We've got Mr. Anastasin and Mr. Mtegas.
Thank you, Doctor. Over to you, sir.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairperson, and the rest of the committee. I want to add to the witness, the group of witnesses, that there was one omission. There was a doctor as well, a doctor Anele, who previously worked at Kailicha Hospital, who was willing to come and be a witness. But because of the events and the harassment that occurred yesterday at KDH against staff and those present here, I advised him to not come because it sounded very risky and dangerous for him to be here. I will start by saying that we thank you for providing us this opportunity to present our case on behalf of the staff of all categories of employment at Kailicha District Hospital. We wish to state it from the outset that we came here today in spite of an escalation of the usual intimidation from the entire KDH management, who consulted and took advice before doing so from the Office of Labour Relations of the Western Cape MDHS, Mr. Joey Roman. Yesterday, there was a high flurry of activity and efforts by the KDH management to prevent now witnesses who were officially invited by the National Council of Provinces Select Committee from attending today's hearing. In order to protect these witnesses from further abuse, intimidation and victimization, now decided not to bring those witnesses along. I'm not going into the details of the events of yesterday. If people want to know further, we can answer it afterwards. I can submit. I personally received a phone call late in the afternoon, like 4 o'clock, from the acting clinical manager. Let me just track back briefly. First of all, the witnesses first informed us that they're not going to be allowed to attend because despite of them submitting invitations to their managers to be here, that management told them that if they want to be here, they have to sign annual leave instead of this special leave. Then when they wanted to sign the annual leave, they were told that we can't grant you annual leave because of operational requirements. When they asked them what are the operational requirements that's actually preventing them from coming here, it couldn't be answered. So this operational requirements was just used as a tool, as an excuse to prevent them from coming here as witnesses, because they have damning evidence against management. Damning. Then, at that point in time, they were not bothered with us yet, with the shop stewards. They still focused on them, and they were very, very busy yesterday. The whole day with this issue of us coming here. While we were on duty, and we had work to do, clinical work, there's this thing going on. So, then later on, they started with us, with the shop stewards. First the one, and we thought that they would stop at the one, because there's one particular manager whose name always appears, Mr. Plykes. So he is an assistant manager covering a wide area in the hospital. And he's not happy with what is happening here with us reporting what's happening. So he is, unfortunately, that shop steward's top manager. He has to make the final. So if her immediate manager had no problem granting her leave and permission to attend this hearing, but then he must sign the final. It always goes to him as well. And it stopped there, and he told her, no, you're not going. You must sign annual leave, and only then you can go. So obviously the shop steward's action will first be what is going on now. Okay? Because we are fully aware that at KDH, there's a lot of people who take special leave. So you have the normal annual leave, you have sick leave, you have family responsibility and so on. Then there's a calling for special leave, which you must now describe what it means and what it was for, and then it would be up to your top manager to, and sometimes the CEO to grant it. But we know of many instances of people who took special leave at that hospital, not for one day, no, not for even half a day, for weeks. So we thought it would stop there, but eventually they came for all of us with the same strategy, hoping that we would now try and fight them at that time of the day about why should we sign annual leave when we have shop stewards leave, a lot of shop stewards leave available. And we decided, no, we're not going to fight that battle. You're not going to distract us now. We are going to sign the annual leave so that we can be here. You can take our annual leave, and if we don't have annual leave, you'll take leave without pay. And that is what happened yesterday. Right up until the end of the day, I received a phone call right before going home that from the clinical manager that this is what's going to happen. You're going to have to go through that. I'll continue reading that I submit a copy of that email that was sent out to the staff, to all the staff at KDH, on the 7th of November 2018. Although their immediate managers, that is of the witnesses, had no objection, now shop stewards were denied shop stewards leave to attend today's hearing, without that it will be a hindrance and prevent us from attending this hearing. Then the house shop stewards decided to go ahead and attend this hearing in spite of those efforts from the KDH management, even if it meant leave without pay. We further attached correspondence showing how the KDH acting CEO, Mrs. Mashaba, took her usual abuse of position of power another step further when she prevented our witnesses from attending today, that operational requirements issue. These witnesses were not even allowed by KDH management to use their annual leave to attend these hearings. In light of the above, we appeal to this committee to assist in stopping all intimidation, threats, bullying, and victimization of staff by KDH management, by the management there assisted by the Office of Labor Relations, Mr. Zoe Roman, immediately. If we don't get that assistance, people, staff are going to make mistakes and will end up being disciplined, and discipline can lead to dismissal. So we want it to stop immediately. Something needs to be done. The Public Service Commission came there, did an investigation, made some recommendations, but the recommendations are what they are, just recommendations. It didn't help. The victimization, the intimidation, it continued the next day. Public Service Commission asked us if anything happens there, we must just give them a call. They would have received hundreds of phone calls. When we go to work every morning, we work at the hospital. We want to deliver a clinical service there ultimately to the people. We can't come to work every day, then we have to deal with labor-related matters. I'm a clinician. There's nurses. We didn't go to that hospital to work there for labor-related matters. To be fighting intimidation and victim. You're on your way somewhere and you find a crying staff member in a corridor because he's just been victimized by Mr. Plykes or someone, one of them. You would have received hundreds of phone calls. So we decided no, because of our past experiences with the Public Service Commission, we're not going to phone you. Because they didn't change anything there, despite of you meeting with them after your report. And they heard what you told them. You advised them not to do that. They kept going. I know that the public service advised them not to do that. I don't think they can stop themselves anymore, Mr. Chairperson. I don't think so. I think they're beyond that. And I think there's probably issues that's far too deep that we don't even know of, that only they know, that they are worried about. That is why I think they cannot stop themselves anymore. I think they're beyond that. Now, on the request, we now request from this committee that a thorough investigation of all the issues raised by us, and we can say we see all our submitted documents, which we submitted over a period of time, the petition and other documents that we've submitted during our correspondence leading up to that initial petition. I hope there's still copies of that. If there aren't, we still have them. But there's a lot of documents that we submitted that we attached to emails to the NCOP. That all those issues be investigated, whether resolved in appropriate action against all those responsible. We also request that this committee assist with the process of steering KDH towards a better opportunity, steering it towards a better opportunity to restore the public image of KDH, because it's being damaged, and improve the relations with the community of Khayelitsha to help us to get that. We don't want the public image of KDH to be damaged. It's not in our interest. Definitely not. There's been these Facebook issues that's been bandied about, that there's always people busy on Facebook and other social media platforms publishing material about KDH. We're not involved in that. We've never been. We sat and we told ourselves that we've got nothing to do with that. We don't want to be part of that. Whoever's doing that, we don't even check. I don't even check who. I don't even go and look. I just hear the stories. So we've never been part of that. We never got involved in such things because we don't want to do damage the public image of the hospital at all. That is not our intention here. Now, the background to the issues raised by us, I'll read now further. The staff and the shop stewards at KDH have followed all the lawful and the recommended procedures before turning towards the National Council of Provinces for assistance, and we did that as follows. Number one, using Public Service Regulated Code of Conduct and Public Service Act grievance procedures. Engaging with KDH management and the Khayelitsha Eastern substructure case within the IMLC, which stands for, the IMLC is an abbreviation which stands for Institutional Management and Labour Committee. Within engaging with them within those meetings, we did that. We referred issues from there to the Western Cape Provincial Chamber. That's number three. Number four, we requested special IMLC meetings with management. Like special IMLC meetings means that meetings which are routinely scheduled on a monthly basis. Now, we requested special ones, which means they would happen in between those meetings because of the urgency of some of the issues. Those requests were declined by the management for no good reason. No good reason. And the emails are there if anybody wants to eventually see that correspondence. Someone tells you that we want a special IMLC meeting. Was we wanted to discuss this payout of this cash payout to the CEO for untaken annual leave. We want to know what happened to the 60,000 Rand award. We want to see the list of posts of people employed at KDH. Then you tell us, no, we don't think that's important. Wait until we have a normal meeting, a routine meeting. When we failed in the previous meetings to reach any conclusion. And it became burning at that point because in between those meetings, we heard that they are busy employing or appointing more people in corrupt manner. So we wanted to stop that. They said, no, no special meeting for you. That's point number five, referring associated cases to the Public Service Commission. We did that. Number six, referring associated cases to the CCMA. Number seven, requesting intervention from the Office of the Chief Director. Number eight, requesting assistance from the Head of Department. That would be the Office of Dr. Engelbrecht. Number nine, requesting assistance from the Office of the MEC for Health. Number 10, requesting assistance from the Office of the Premier of the Western Cape. And after all the failure of all those, we picketed. We went into picketing state. And after the picketing, Mr. Sikoko explained what happened there, that we had one meeting with the chief director, and then subsequently it just broke down because of delaying tactics used. During the picketing, we invited the media to our picket. That was in Yalp in September 2017, but only one journalist from the Argus attended. Radio stations, ETV News, SABC News, and other newspapers did not attend and showed no interest. That lone journalist from the Argus declined to publish our story. Thus, we found ourselves even outcasted by the media, the same media who claim to be fighting for press freedom and people's right to be given information. We were stuck. And at that point, we turned to the National Council of Provinces. And it took us one year to get to this point now where we're actually sitting in this room. But we waited patiently. Now I'm going to talk about the misuse of public institutions against the staff. We wish to state that we believe that public institutions, like the Office of Labor Relations, headed by Mr. Roman, and the Public Service Commission, only exist and function on the back of taxes.
Yes.
I want to come in with the issue of the shops. You were saying they took 1 year to come here. Can I just a little bit elaborate on the 1 year?
I said you have took a 1 year.
No, Chair. I want to answer him and say, just because it is difficult for you to come here. Difficult. And bear in mind, everybody sitting in this room, this thing of Khayelitsha Hospital, they also take the chairperson on. But now, that one, so it means that I'm trying to think now and say, why the 1 year? Because even the chairperson was taking on. But nevertheless, that one, we don't even worry about it because we were there and we follow procedure. So maybe the commission also knows that. On the other side, the chairperson was taking on about that hospital. And the media who write that report, there is a media in the with the issue of the chairperson. Because I'm wondering why you talk like that. I heard that when the chairperson was there, the staff was traumatized. Now I'm wondering why you're sitting here and not getting traumatized. Thank you, sir.
That's my only. Thank you. Carol.
Thank you.
So our recap, we wish to state that we believe that public institutions like the Office of Labor Relations of the Western Cape, headed by Mr. Roman, and the Public Service Commission only exist and function on the back of taxes paid either directly through personal income tax and VAT by the public, or indirectly from taxes paid by employers in private whom the public work for. We therefore expect that these institutions will assist both the staff and management with equal determination and vigor. However, from this experience we learn that these institutions are mainly, and we can almost say only, in the service of management. While the staff are delivering a service to the community, these institutions, together with the KDH management, are constantly buzzing, using public money to make the life of the staff unbearable by either doing so directly, or tolerating harassment, including sexual harassment, victimization, bullying, financial mismanagement, corruption, and intimidation of staff. While doing so, the staff and public are left powerless and at their mercy. Over the past 2 weeks, the Office of Labor Relations Western Cape, together with the Public Service Commission, provided grievance procedure and staff discipline training at KDH. However, certain supervisors and managers were deliberately excluded from attending these training sessions. The training sessions were part of a recommendation from the Public Service Commission after their investigative report. They suggested that, or rather they found out that grievances and discipline and complaints was not done properly at KDH, and they thought, let's train the managers and supervisors to do it better. And we appreciate that. However, certain supervisors and managers were excluded. And when we looked at who they were, it's people like us, like me. I'm not supposed to be there, but I'm a supervisor. Mrs. Warnick, who was supposed to be a witness, one of those witnesses who now couldn't come, she wasn't there. She wasn't on the list of invited guests. It's only when the two of us questioned and wanted to know what is happening, then they told us, okay, you can come also as well, because they had no explanation. They couldn't tell us why. So, and yet we think that we should have been invited to attend in the first place. The general non-managerial staff of KDH, who are not supervisors or managers, would also benefit from such training sessions. They would also. None such training sessions have been mentioned as planned by the above institutions. Once again, are these institutions not funded by public funding, which contributed towards by all who work at or outside of KDH? So why should only a small group of people receive such training? Because I attended it and I found it very beneficial, very revealing. So if you are, I can give one example which was very disturbing to me. After this training session, I did not write that here. I went to ask the Public Service Commission who was there a question. I asked him, so if a grievance had failed at institutional level, including the head office of the head office, how much time does that aggrieved employee have to submit their grievance to the Public Service Commission? I was told 5 days.
I was shocked because I didn't know that, and I'm a shop steward. Because I have not seen it written down anywhere. Maybe it is. But I was really shocked to eat 5 days. So now you are, as I told you, we are coming there to work, not to fight labor issues. Someone tells you now, if you've got 5 days, you also have your own personal life and trouble that you must attend to. You must now stop focusing on both your private life and your work to attend to that. And you might end up being disciplined because now you're not doing your work properly. 5 days. Okay. I then asked this commissioner, now what if the staff member does not know that they have 5 days? His answer was, well, that's not our problem. I was shocked. Then he said, look, he told me, and I told the rest of us, that ignorance about the law is not an excuse. Meaning that he is comparing that to what that type of situation to somebody, you breaking into someone's house and you steal something. Then you want to, in court afterwards, say you didn't know that you are not allowed to steal. You can't compare the two, no. It's not comparable. And I left it there. I realized that we are having a big problem here in this province. I'm glad I went to that training. I would actually not have been there in the first place. But it was revealing to me. It was still useful. You know, you go to training, you might not agree with everything, but you still find something very useful. Then we asked this committee to assist with investigating how it happened that some supervisors were excluded and by whom from attending that event, because that's going to be difficult for us to find out. It's difficult because people will hide the truth. Now, next, financial mismanagement at KDH. Over the past 3 years, we reported the financial mismanagement at KDH to all the above institutions, but it fell on deaf ears. When I say the above institutions, that list of 10 processes that we went through, right from the start to the end, that, including the picketing where we addressed a memorandum to the MEC, that's number 11, to the above institutions, but it fell on deaf ears. And I heard Mr. Sikoko say earlier that we had a memorandum and asked the MEC to come and accept it. And he says the MEC, he mentioned that the MEC sent Mr. Dr. Phillips, the director of CARES, instead to receive it. We received no such communication from the MEC that the MEC would do that. It would have been courteous of the MEC to at least let us know that, sorry, I can't be there, but I'm delegating so-and-so. That process never happened. We were simply ignored. And when we got to that point, we were just informed just before that by Dr. Fuller that he's going to receive it. So this is all verbal. There's nothing in writing here. I'm just correcting that. And this financial mismanagement continues as we speak here today. It hasn't stopped. As we're sitting here now, it's actually happening. I refer you to the various documents to you submitted by us around this issue. The case of the CEO of KDH being paid $250,000 in cash for untaken annual leave is a case in point. The office of Mr. Joey Roman, Labor Relations, has been aware of this, but nothing was done about it. The Public Service Commission did an investigation into the CEO payment and concluded that they found nothing irregular about it. Consequently, no action was taken to restore public confidence. The argument used by the Public Service Commission in defense of the payout to the CEO of KDH was that all the necessary documents to make the payout were signed appropriately. It was clear to us then that the Public Service Commission attempted to cover up and protect this corruption. I refer you here to the reply we wrote to the Public Service Commission report, their investigative report, about their investigations at KVH. And I just want to repeat a small section of that, and that in a hospital which repeatedly says that budget and fiscal allocation constraints, that budget and fiscal allocation constraints reduces its ability to provide an improved health service to the community of Khayelitsha, how can you officially allow signing off of documents how can the signing of such documents justify allowing the CEO to not take his annual leave? If there's no money for health service delivery, why didn't you tell him to take his leave? Take it, because we don't have money to pay you afterwards. How can you justify allowing the CEO to not take his annual leave so that he can end up with a cash payout of R250,000? In the end, the greatest victims here were the community of Khayelitsha. And the Public Service Commission found nothing wrong here. They simply looked at the processes and wished that there were signatures that was needed. I can repeat here, elaborate here briefly to say that if you are not a manager there, you will never get such a not even R1 for untaken annual leave. It will not happen. So we've never even tried it. No one has ever tried it. Because there's a circular in province that clarifies that if you don't take your annual leave by June, end of June, you will forfeit it. So we live by that. Because we thought it had to be like that. But because this thing happened, I went to read further that clause in that circular, and then it continues and states, unless exceptional good reason can be provided for you that made you not take your annual leave. Now you can think, now what are these good and exceptional reasons? So basically, we'd like to know what they were. We don't just want to know, did the right head sign this or that? What were those reasons that prevented the CEO from taking annual leave over such a long period of time? Because the CEO is not indispensable. It's not that he doesn't have people who can act in his place. Nobody in a hospital is indispensable. Everybody who works there has got somebody to back them up when they're not there. So what was it in this case that was so special? And for a long period of time, I'm not talking about 2 or 3 months here. So if someone couldn't take leave for so long, won't they get tired and exhausted? This whole thing, so we were very disappointed with the Public Service Commission outcome of that issue. The current acting CEO, does he still on financial mismanagement? The current acting CEO of KDH, Mrs. Mashaba, appears to be even more dangerous with her abuse of power. We're not going to go into the detail here now, because many of these things actually happened after the Public Service Commission investigated the hospital. But if somebody, we can give a few examples if people want to know. Once Mrs. Masaba is thoroughly investigated, we request that everyone who have been part of KD's management under her leadership and who knew of her wrongdoings but kept silent be held accountable. All this corruption needs to stop so that provision of an improved quality service can be delivered by KDH. Now I'm going to go to the next point, quality of care at KDH. As a union, we never deal directly with quality of care because it's not a direct labor-related issue. However, indirectly it becomes a labor-related issue because financial mismanagement, corruption, and constant victimization of staff has a negative impact on the quality of care in the following manner. Number one, the required number, type, and quality of staff will not be appointed. It will be a different thing that will happen. For example, the case of Mr. Stumper, which I will come to again. Number two, in this manner, the resources of the hospital will not be allocated locally.
I would like the shop steward to touch 1212 because we still got other people to come in. All right, to summarize because he knows his things. So
can I read faster, maybe?
Yes.
Yes. The resources of the hospital will not be allocated locally in the most effective way. For example, one, KDH not having enough drivers to transport specimens in between KDH and Tigerberg Hospital after hours. Two, a senior nursing manager has been removed from a position or role by Mrs. Mashaba and placed to work away from KDH so that she cannot witness the wrongdoings of Mrs. Mashaba and Mr. Plaikis. Three, Mr. Kaiser Mbobo resigned from his position as labor relations officer for KES a month ago, then almost immediately got reappointed by KES within about a week of leaving to be able to access his benefits. This smells of corruption in KES. We have heard that the YAL staff at Mfuleni Clinic are unhappy with the recent KES appointment at Mfuleni because it is a lead that KES did not follow a proper recruitment and selection process. The Mfuleni case appears to be linked with the irregular reappointment of Mr. Kaiser Mbobo. We do know that both KES and KDH management owe Kaiser Mbobo a lot because even though he was employed by KES, he assisted and advised them both how to resolve grievances at KDH and get away with it. He also advised and assisted them to render the KDH IMLC dysfunctional. Fourth, last one here, 2 weeks ago, an attempt was made by Mrs. Masaba and KES to make another irregular appointment into an operational manager post in the labor ward, where the labor ward is where babies are delivered. The process was stopped after KDH staff lodged a complaint. We request that this KES and Mrs. Masaba be investigated for that incident. Overloading the hospital with patients without clearly communicated contingency measures, for example, the Mfuleni drainage area case. A few months ago, patients from Mfuleni who used to be managed in the Eerste River drainage area was added to the Khayelitsha drainage area. No clear explanation was given to staff for that decision and no information was provided about the consequences for quality of care of patients at KDH due to the increased burden from an additional drainage area. One expects that an executive decision to increase the patient load for KDH would be accompanied with an announcement of an increased resources for KDH, but it did not happen that way. The staff got exposed to greater risk for individual errors and burnout, while the complaints from the public against KDH quality of care escalated. Many high-quality staff will not be attracted to work at KDH due to financial mismanagement. Five, occupational health and safety will be compromised as has been and continues to be the case at KDH. Six, corruptly appointed staff members will be blindly loyal to management, protect management, and eventually assist with such corrupt practices. Seven, constantly bullied and victimized staff will not buy into the plans of management and will not provide a service to the best of their ability. If you are a nurse, for example, and you have personal problems like we have all have at some point, whom do you trust and turn to get back to your level of performance when you are a constant victim of the above? We have submitted reports relating to the quality of care, which I refer the commission to. Many more reports will surface once a thorough investigation is done. The case of nurse Mrs. Stumper comes to mind. Mrs. Stumper was a corrupt appointment, which has been defended by KDH management in spite of multiple complaints from both staff and patients. He was appointed at KDH as an advanced midwife, but could not even function at the level of a normal, non-advanced qualified midwife, or even worse, he could not function at the level of a general professional nurse, and he happened to work in labor ward. As a result, pregnant patients were repeatedly exposed to his clinical mismanagement. His biggest defenders were the current acting CEO, Mrs. Masaba, and Mr. Plaikis. The severe and inappropriate discipline which many staff members at KDH were subjected to was not applied to Mr. Stamper. We can state that we think this happened because Mr. Stamper was a corrupt appointment. Although Mr. Stamper has now left KDH, and the Public Service Commission found absolutely nothing wrong with his appointment and role at KDH, we strongly feel that this case must be reopened for investigation. If he was such an outstanding candidate in the interviews, how come he was the exact opposite after being employed? Did he perhaps get the interview questions beforehand? Was he the person who was interviewed, or did an imposter get interviewed? We don't know, and we can only speculate. Last one, now almost that, very close to, training and the skills development at KDH. Since there are public complaints about quality of care at KDH, one would expect that the KDH Skills Committee and its subcommittee, the KDH Nurse Training Coordinating Committee, would be trusted and tasked to intensify training and skills development. To the contrary, over the past year, Mrs. Masaba and Mr. Plaikis have tried to subvert the efforts of the Skills Development Committee. Further, acting CEO of KDH, Mrs. Masaba intensified her efforts to subvert the nurse training and the skills committee. The motivation behind the behavior can only be abuse of power, abuse of public funds, nepotism, because this is not new to them. The very existence of the nurse training committee and the KDH skills development committee is a hindrance to their corrupt efforts. The skills committee requested Mrs. Masaba and the KDH management team to attend the skills committee meeting and explain their efforts. As usual, that request was ignored. Now, to the public service, to almost end of now, the Public Service Commission investigation, we refer this committee to our reply to the KDH investigation done by the Public Service Commission. In our reply, we stated that investigation was done inadequately and that we were disappointed that such highly qualified commissioners could conduct such a poor quality investigation. That investigation was done so poorly that we feel it was a waste of public money, the same money which we are told is not available for health care for the community in Khayelitsha. In conclusion, the damage that was done at KDH over the years extend deep and has become extensive. There will be no quick fix solution now because it was allowed to continue for far too long. However, we can start by addressing all the issues raised in our reports and documents submitted to the committee. The KDH Labour Caucus has always been committed to participating in the IMLC at KDH, but not with people who constantly ignore, are devious, and have no interest in resolving issues raised by staff and the community. That is the end, Mr. Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Doc. Thank you very much for your presentation. Clear? And you said you have got two witnesses who were involved by the abuse of the substructure, who lose their employment or who has been fired. If you can come sit nearer or here, just to brief us. And Doc, you were speaking about the nurses, those nurses, because I don't see anything that is done wrong too much in hospital rather than labor issues. In terms of maternity, people dying, not attended by the nurses, all those stories. Thank you, Doc.
In reply to that, we would have added that, but to a large extent, we needed our witnesses here for that, because they were the people in the heart of this, and that is why they were prevented from coming here, because the management knew what would happen here. It would have been better if they were here. They know all the details and the ins and outs.
Chair,
it's wise, because even if he can talk, he doesn't have a backup for that. So it's wise if he can leave it for now. Yeah.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm Abdurrahman Erinzen. Just know me as, everybody knows me as Mali at the Khayelitsha Hospital. I used to be the previous HR manager for Khayelitsha Hospital since May of 2011. So I've worked closely with all these colleagues and issues that they have mentioned. One of my concerns, and I want to kind of touch on all of these aspects that these colleagues have mentioned, and let it be known that I've, and they can tell you, I've been a great supporter of the union and also a great critic of the union. As being part of the IMLC, as a member of the IMLC for management, and we've clashed many times, and for good reason. For good governance, at least. But these points, these issues that they have mentioned, I've worked closely with all of these matters, with all of these issues. The Public Service Commission report, which has about 12 points on it, 8 of these points is related to HR. And during the investigation, not one moment that I was requested or interviewed or asked questions with regard to these issues. No, sorry. I was dismissed in July, the 10th of July. Also during a whole process of disciplinary hearing, charges laid against me, fictitious charges made up, and I'm busy now with regard to arbitration. And unfortunately, I've gone through all of these avenues that these guys were talking about, the unions are talking about, referring the matters to the Public Service Commissioner, trying to get in touch with him, trying to get hold of the MEC. I was supposed to meet with her, and the meeting has just been postponed. She agreed to see me, postponed, never happened. I've gone all of these avenues. I've even emailed the prison's hotline, basically to get to a point to bring my message across of what is really happening at Khayelitsha Hospital. I've worked closely with all of these issues that they have mentioned, and even more issues that I've mentioned. I've worked closely with Dr. Karva since the beginning. At one stage, and the union can tell you, I was basically labeled as his lapdog, because when he says do something, I do it and I get it done. But things started going very awry, and I started questioning what is going on, because I had to respond to audited general issues with regard to numerous matters, recording with regard to recruitment selection, COTs, overtime, all of these issues that I've mentioned, the IMLC, star performance. I had to answer to those things, and I was not comfortable. And I started questioning the motives behind certain things with regard to issues, and I will mention a few. And as soon as you, like they mentioned, as soon as you question and you ask and say, well, this is not right, it's not policy, you cannot follow these particular processes, it's incorrect, you start falling out of favor with certain management processes, or at least what management is doing, and then you become a target. And when I talk about a target, I am still a bit, kind of worried that we are not being protected under the the Information Disclosure Act or the Whistleblowing Act, because you talk about hit list. I'm not sure whether we're supposed to take that literally or figuratively with regard to the hit list. And I don't want to bring this up, but one of our colleagues was a few years ago was shot just off, you know, off. He was shot afterwards. He had access to Purcell. He got access to Purcell. He comes from Tigerberg days with Dr. Karwa, used to meet with Dr. Karwa after hours. He was also in favor of with Dr. Karwa, fell out of favor with Dr. Karwa, and soon afterwards this thing happened. Documents that he kept, confidential documents that he kept in his locker, all of a sudden disappeared. I'm not sure what access he had to Purcell at one stage. He didn't work in HR. He worked in, I think it was fees department, but he had access to a Purcell. I'm not sure where he got it from Steigerberg days, but these are things that makes people fearful when you talk about a hit list. And how do you deal with that? How do you manage it? How do you, work it? I mean, I don't know how to deal with it. I don't know, is it real? Is it figurative? But these are the messages in the that's coming out of Khayelitsha Hospital, and which makes people fearful.
Sorry, Mani. Hit list. Hit list. And my understanding was this hit list was about maybe being targeted to be expelled. But now you are mentioning something that another person disappeared physically.
No, he disappeared. He was shot.
Was shot, yeah. There's no, that.
And that's what I'm saying. I'm not taking this lightly because I find it very, I take it as very serious. Because let me tell you exactly, my job as HR manager was to record, make notes, have evidence, make copies, record, keep documents in confidence. And since I'm the HR manager, my job, like I said, was to record everything. And I literally did record everything. I have recordings which I've offered to the MEC. I have emails which talks about the manipulation of the performance management, manipulation, evidence, hard copies, reports that I've made out that I've issued to management with regard to manipulation, with regard to the recruitment selection, including the overtime and the commuted overtime or fixed overtime of clinical staff that I have, that I've offered to give to the MEC and HOD and OCD about these issues. And I became a target, and that's why I'm not working anymore, because Nahawa has mentioned, those people find themselves without a job. As soon as you pull out of favor because you know too much and you get dismissed, they will find a way.
You still have those documents with you?
Yes, I have the documents, I have the recordings, I have the hard copies, I even got video if you need one. Need those. It is, and I became, it's a habit of mine to basically record all of this information, especially when you have meetings, long meetings, and you keep those particular documentation. And I've offered these things, and I'm not that I've purposely come to the National Council of Provinces. I've tried other avenues. I have grievances issued. I have complaints issued. I have reports issued about issues that has happened at Khayelitsha Hospital. Those things are all being sabotaged. When I tried to issue it to through the CEO's office, I issued it through the director's office, and it was returned. It was kept under file 13. I don't know what they did with it. It's probably still in the labor relations office, according to what the knowledge that I know. These things are being sabotaged. The grievance processes have been sabotaged, and I've brought it up many times. I've discussed it with my union, Nahau, and they are aware of it. And yet, like the grievance processes has been sabotaged at Khayelitsha Hospital, they are misusing the processes to benefit themselves. They don't want to answer their grievances, and these are specific grievances linked to all of these issues that they have mentioned. I'm talking about the recruitment selection. They mentioned the name Plaikis, that apparently during my suspension last year in July tried to interview his brother. He tried to interview his brother in one of the processes. His brother came for a PNGen post, a professional nurse post. He tried to interview his brother. He, at the last minute, he excused himself. The scribe stopped the process. The scribe asked him, "Is this your brother?" He said, "Yes." That was in July of 2017, while I was on suspension. The picketing happened in September of 2017, and in the memo, of course, they mentioned the irregularities with regard to Mr. Plaatjes trying to interview his brother for a post. Dr. Karva never took any action, even after that July when the process was stopped and the reasons indicated why it was stopped. He never did anything. But as soon as the memo came out, 2 months after that, in November of that particular year, 2 months later, he issued Mr. Plaatjes, after Mr. Plaatjes issued an affidavit, and then in the affidavit issued by the police station, saying that he is not related to the person. A statement from the scribe says that he said he was related to his brother. In the affidavit from the police station, says he's not related, and Dr. Karva then gives him, to make everything look legal or up and up, gives him an informal written warning. The policy constitutes that at least there should be a disciplinary hearing at that particular level where a nursing manager has applied nepotism to appoint a family member. There should be a disciplinary hearing, and the least sanction you can get is a final written warning. Dr. Karva felt it, according to himself, to give the person an informal written warning, even after the person lied in an affidavit, the scribe, using the scribe statement. I wrote a whole report on my own investigation on the matter when it landed on my desk, unbeknownst to me, as being head of HR, that deals with labor relations issues. The document laid on my desk, I was not referred or recalled to that particular meeting or that process. It landed on my desk, and I said, and I looked at it, and I investigated it, and I found this, and I wrote out a report. I issued it to Dr. Karov's office. He ignored it, sent it back, and it has been laying unresolved until today. Nothing has happened. And this is just but one point. And I am scared of the safety. And if I may go to another point, with regard to, it was on the report, I think it was regarding the OHS, occupational health and safety. And I want to bring this point up. A few months ago, the MSC officially opened a CT scanner operating room at Khayelitsha Hospital. But a year before that, the DD, facility manager, Mr. Pai, my previous supervisor, also being dismissed in April of this year, he raised his concerns because that CT scanner room, I have no problem with anybody creating services at Khayelitsha Hospital, but that CT scanner room, according to Mr. Pai, as the facility manager, had no ventilation. There's one exit in and out, and he indicated as a risk. And he asked management and the company and public service, public works, who is going to take the risk should something happen and people are not able to exit that particular room. Nobody could, everybody was very upset, including Dr. Karva, and Mr. Pai then fell out of favor with Dr. Karva. Even the chief radiographer also had raised his concerns about the safety of that particular room where the CT scanner was in. Because it was rushed to get finished, because they had to initiate a process, because now all the other hospitals had one. Mitchell's Plain had theirs, so Khayelitsha had to have theirs, because otherwise the funding would be lost. But then, before all of this, before the opening of this particular CT scanner, what the Public Service Commissioner does not know, or I'm not sure whether management knows, that there was two near fires in Khayelitsha Hospital in September last year, Because remember, there had not been any drills or any evacuation drills or anything like that for a long time. There was a small fire. A patient threw a cigarette in a bin. It caused some smoke. And all the staff in OPD, this was an OPD where you have MOUs, the pregnant patients coming in for examinations in OPD. The nursing staff grabbed the bag, saw the smoke, and ran out and left. There were no precautionary measures taken to secure the area, get the patients out, nothing. The staff just ran. This was the staff leaving the patients behind. Luckily, the DD, Mr. Pai, was in the area inspecting something at pharmacy, which is opposite the OPD, and noticed this. He then neutralized the smoke before it became a fire. Right? That was the one issue. The second time this happened, and soon after that first fire, there was a disaster management meeting with EMS, policing, traffic, fire department. They had a huge meeting, and they were organizing to have a drill. I'm not sure whether it was linked to that first fire incident. But all of a sudden, there was a management meeting with regard to a disaster management meeting with regard to, how to organize a drill should there be a disaster that should occur at the hospital, which should actually happen twice a year. That meeting was held. They were going to reconvene for a second meeting with regard to the date that this is supposed to take place sometime in early December. This, at the second meeting, the fire chief did not want to come. He didn't come because he had already inspected the institution or the facility and found numerous irregularities with regard to the fire safety of the institution. And he refused to be part of that disaster meeting until the issues that was raised, that he found irregularities, that particular issues be sorted out. Right? He issued them a letter to say, these are the issues and it must be resolved by a certain time. Dr. Karwat was nonchalant. You can speak to the fire chief if you wish to find out what is Dr. Karwat's reaction. He was basically thought it was funny that the chief director, the chief fire chief was really upset about it, because that institution was a death trap at that particular time. By the June of this year, many of those issues on that list have not been resolved. But even before that, in February of this year, there was another scare with regard to fire. One of the air conditioners malfunctioned, tripped, there was a spark, there was smoke, the alarm went off, and this was on the first floor, just above OPD. On the first floor, and staff was trying to run around, and neutralize and find out where the fault was before something serious did happen. Luckily, it didn't spark, it didn't cause a flame, it just was a smoke, and it died out, and they realized, and they later found out it was a faulty air conditioner, because remember, Khayelitsha Hospital is now about 7 years in existence, almost 8 years in existence. Mm. And that was February, by June of this year, the institution was still not safe. These are but the concerns that I've been exposed to, or been involved with, that I know of. And there's many other aspects. And I am willing to give recordings of how performance management was manipulated. Evidence, even with regard to, and people will say, yes, Mr. Aronson, you were dismissed because you did something wrong. That's according to management, and you have to go through the arbitration and all those type of things, and you are a angry person. It might be so, but I am fearful from what I know, what is happening currently in the victimization with regard to the staff at Khayelitsha Hospital. Because I've been subjected to the same type of harassment and victimization and intimidation.
Are you finished, eh?
Yes.
But
Mr. Chair, this is just for the tip of the iceberg. There's many other issues that I can bring up, but I'm willing to share it if need be.
Definitely the committee will ask some other additions if they need so. Thank you very much. Mrs. Mtegas.
Oh, thank you very much, Chairperson. Mine is just a brief report. Everything that I went through has been said.
Do you have a copy?
I've got the copy.
Thank you.
Can I continue? After I've presented, I'll leave my file. I've got copies of the file. Of the whole case and the communication. Now I'll give you later, because this report is brief, but I'll give you later so that we can have them. Good morning, everybody, again, or good day. My name is Tandeka Konele Mtegazi, a former CB community-based service manager in Khayelitsha Substructure Office. I just want to give a brief background before I can come to my incidents. I was employed from 2003 when the program was started. The whole provinces where we started, the National Department of Health was starting the community-based program. Damaras was there, can witness that I started the program. My work was to deal with the NPOs, funding of the NPOs, supervising the NPOs. NPOs that are working for the are doing the service for the department, that are the partners of the department. I've been responsible for Khayelitsha sub-districts from those times. And then now when it was turned to the substructure, then we moved to Khayelitsha substructure office. What I can highlight is that what Oluto has highlighted, that I was the only black manager in the community-based service amongst 15 colors and three whites. Reason being, there were posts that were advertised because I started the program, but there comes a time when the post was advertised for the deputy director of programs. I applied for the post. I didn't get that post. It was got by Sheila McClun, one or another. From outside, Sheila was working in the clinic. I've been in the program, I think, for 10 years. By that time, they were employing Sheila. After that, they created a post for the senior manager, who would be senior to me. I also applied for that post. They employed Utilia, another colored lady from outside, from the NGO, so that I cannot get the post. So I started questioning, or I dragged them by hand. I didn't become grieved because I didn't get the post. I taught them how to do the work, Sheila included. Then that made Sheila to be my secondary supervisor. Then I had this Utilia, who was my manager. But I taught both of them how the program runs. After a time, I think Udilia last year was 2 years in the post. She had a problem with me because she could see that I was challenging everything. One, Udilia was coming from the NGO and she wanted to cut down the funding of the NGOs in Khayelitsha to give to the NGO she was coming from in Eastern, in Kells River, Africa Takon. Then Sheila was agreeing to this corruption that was done by Udilia. Then Udilia had an interest of her NGO was in the department, and then Sheila was agreeing with her. Then I started to challenge them. I started to show them the guidelines and everything that we can't do this, and what is wrong with these NGOs in Khayelitsha? Why do you want to shut down the NGOs? The NGOs that I've groomed for 13 years now. So you can't just shut down. You can, and they will write wrong reports to the director of the substructure, Dr. Mark Phillips. Previously, they used to write to Dr. Perez to say, this NGO Sakla has done this and that and that. Then Dr. Perez wouldn't ask me, but Dr. Phillips would ask me and say, give me the report. So in view of that, so I was targeted because that NGO, I was fighting for the NGOs to say that you're not going to close them because they're doing great. I gave them the report. That was one case that was targeted for. Secondly, I was targeted for the case of Mrs. Fuzani. I was involved in the case of Mrs. Fuzani's child in a way that I was given I was allocating carers to see that child was beaten by nurses and KDH at home. So the Rakara, when we were summoned to come to Parliament for Mrs. Susan's petition, called me and told me to lie, to say that child was not beaten, he had death sons, all the things that they were talking about Mrs. Susan's child. I wrote my report of everything that which was against Dr. Kara. So that was the second reason I was targeted. Man, the incidents that I was dismissed for, after 14 years with a clean record, my file doesn't even have a verbal warning, only dismissal last year in December. What happened, this is the incident, I'll be brief. The problem here was created by the transport department. I'm using the government car. My work entails me to use the government car when I'm working because I'm going around. I'll be allocated a car for the month, and then you get another trip authority for every month. Then I was given this car for 2 years I was driving. So on this day, it was 2nd of February 2017, I had the trip authority from the 1st to the 28th of February, as I've indicated here, from the transport department. But on the same car was allocated to the dietitian for 3 days. So the incident happened when I went to fetch the car because it was loaded with my... I wanted to go and work with the files and distribute the files to the NGOs. I found that the car was not there, went to transport briefly. Then transport said, no, the car is gone with Ms. Jonas. We're going to give you another car to go and swap and take your car and take that car. You use which is full of your equipment and go. Realized that Mr. Williams, who's no longer there, was a manager in transport, instructed her to give the car over to me, Ms. Jonas. But Ms. Jonas didn't want. She refused. But after a while, Mr. Williams called to say, hand over the car. You were given by mistake. So the problem was solved immediately. That is the incident that made me to be dismissed. After a month, I was made away by Sheila, who was my secondary supervisor, that Ms. Jonas has written a complaint about me. Because Sheila, they were looking for anybody who can pin me. So they got this dietitian, and then she wrote a complaint about me that I was rude and I acted unprofessional. Then I wrote my own statement clearly pointing out that Ms. Jonas, who was a junior to me, discriminated at me in the clinic, was calling me on the phone. I don't know this lady, Ian, is a black lady with dreadlocks. She is junior to me. Nobody took notice of this. This is written in black and white, bold letters, in all my statements. Black lady with dreadlocks. Nobody looked at that. And I stated also the insubordination I was exposed to by Ms. Jonas as a manager. And then there was communication about the case. After that, Sheila said, okay, we're going to sit down, Tandy, and solve this. But never, nothing of that sort happened. Sheila went to report to the Labor Relations Department that she accused me of not attending the meetings, yet she never invited me to any meeting. And in that file, I've got evidences of the communication. And then in most of the communication, I was excluded. I won't be there in the email. And then Ms. Mbombo, this case Mbombo, Labor Relations Officer, once corrected that to say in the emails, we need to include Ms. Ntegazi because this is about her. After a while, Sheila McClune handed over to Keza Mbombo to frustrate me or to follow me because Keza Mbombo is the most poisonous person in that substructure who is dismissing people and is being used by management. Then Keza Mbombo took over and frustrated me too much. He would send an email on the day to say that you're supposed to go for a hearing in the morning. And then when I went to explain to him my itinerary that I can't go, I don't have a shop steward, I don't a rep, I don't, and it's a short notice, and I've got the itinerary, I'm going to work. He became so rude to me, that incident. And then he wrote 4 pages of statement about me, allocating me also with Sheila and Delia. So that meeting that didn't happen on the 30th, I arranged through Kayser's manager because also Kayser is junior to me and him and his manager is also junior to me. So the meeting happened on the 31st where Ms. Mbombo Kayser stated clearly that he's not going to lodge a complaint about the communication or the chats between the two of us. But later, I found that Ukeza has got 4 pages more than the dietitian who laid the complaint, initial complaint about me. There were hearings that were arranged, but it was only after I was served that it was only the 13th of October, which was done according to Code of Conduct and Labor Relations, that you are given a letter, you sign, and then you are given 5 days' time to arrange your rep. That was the only hearing, but unfortunately my rep was bereaved, so we wrote communication, which is there, then it was accepted that we can't, they will arrange another date. There was no other date arranged. One, there was an investigating officer that I saw on the emails, Mr. Craig Olifir, that I don't even know. I've never seen Mr. Olifir, I don't know Mr. Olifir. He never came to me to investigate me, but he was the one who was writing the emails. Then I saw the email of the 2nd of November, that day, which was written that day by this Mr. Craig, that they were crossing emails with my name to say that we're supposed to have a hearing today, and the email was written on the 2nd of November, but we heard that Ms. Mtegazi is sick, and that was a lie because I was not sick on the 2nd of November, I was at work. So I was never invited to the hearing. Even if I was invited, that was not a formal invite. Writing an email to all your friends, to all of them, Keza, Mbombo, Sheila, all of them, and then saying that there will be a hearing today, because that was frustrating me. They know that I won't have a rep in them, and that was not according to the Code of Conduct, that to give 5 days for the employee to prepare. And this was all done deliberately. And then on that email of the 2nd of November, he wrote that since we didn't have a hearing today, the hearing is on the 7th of November. The 2nd was on a Wednesday. So it means I was given Thursday, Friday, Monday. So 3 days, because there was a weekend. So they know that I won't get a rep, because the reps, I mean, how reps are busy. Then I responded to that email to say, Mr. Craig, I can't come to the one, I don't have a rep, two, there's not enough time, three, this is a short notice, because I got the email on the 6th and the hearing is on the following day. Then Mr. Craig told me in that email that we're going to sit without you. And the rep from the house, Mr. Manir, also wrote an email to say, please postpone the hearing, which was not, I was not invited in that hearing. It was a communication that I responded because there wasn't my name. But they also ignored him blatantly. Then after that, I never received anything after the 7th of November. On the 28th of November, I was served with a dismissal letter by Sheila and Rosanne. Rosanne is the Kaiser Labor Relations Manager. On that letter, I saw the signature of A. Jubert, who I presumed was, who signed as a presiding officer. I don't know Jubert. I've never seen Jubert. Jubert never communicated with me. The dismissal letter in question had no date of the hearing, had no venue, and had no time, which makes it possible that there was no hearing. And this case on Mbombo, Ukeza has got a loose tongue. He told Qobani, who was also a shop steward in the substructure, that when Qobani went to confront him to say, how come that you sit without us? And we said, postpone. Ukeza said, no, just sat down around the table, because Sheila and Delia said, we must dismiss Utaneka because she's making their life difficult. She's challenging everything. Ukeza told Qobani that. So I was given 5 days to appeal. I appealed on the 30th of November, which was day 3 after my dismissal. We asked for the minutes of the hearing to show that there was no hearing. The attendees of the hearing, the attendance report, and the recorder from the presiding officer, whom I have never seen, together with the investigating officer. We never got any minutes because there were no minutes. I appealed, but what happened in that appeal, I appealed on the 30th, so I was finally dismissed on the 11th of December, 8 days after the appeal. The appeal was not successful. When it comes to my concerns and benefits, I found out that my benefits, such as the medical aid, were suspended on the 30th of November, whilst I was still there. And on that day, I lost the appeal. Then I wanted to know from HR, how did they know that I was going to be dismissed finally? Why? Because James sent me an SMS to say HR has cut your benefits from the 30th of November, and I was dismissed on the 11th of December. So it was clear that I asked them who was the appeal board. I need the minutes of the appeal. Franjwa Brand, who's the DDHR, told me that no, it was done by Dr. Phillips and Dr. Perez. The communication was between them. Then I asked for the transparency of the communication of the appeal. I never got it. Finally, the appeal process was just a formality. They knew that they were going to dismiss me. So my concerns are as follows also. I was dismissed for nothing, with a clean record. No labor relations practices followed. No procedures, correct procedures followed. It was just a group of, there's about 10 people on my case. There was about 10 to 12 that are on my case. There's an incident there that I want to point out in this house of a doctor who had sexual, he had sex with a nurse inside B Hospital, Dr. Govender and Miss Peters. They were both working there in the substructure. So they went to Site B, they did sex, they used the hospital government resources because this doctor put a drip because he drugged her. And then they did that in the hospital, in the consulting room. And that case was discussed by all these doctors, Perez and them. And then Dr. Srinu was suspended, this doctor, for 3 months. After 3 months, they said that it was consensual sex. Dr. Governor is still working within the department. He's working at Retreat Hospital. Sexual offense at the workplace using the government resources against versus me who didn't do anything with a clean record for 14 years. Thank you. That is the things that are happening, that there's corruption, there's intimidation, there's victimization. If you saying no to corruption, then you're being victimized. You're being targeted. Thank you so much.
Thank you. I find that there's also a whistleblower here. Are you willing?
I think I'm more than willing.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you. That's your platform.
My name is Damaris Kiewicz, and I'm the chairperson of the Cape Metro. And we were instrumental in the establishment of the Khayelitsha District Hospital because of the burden of disease in Khayelitsha at the time. And it dates back prior to 2012. We had the initial discussions of the district hospital way back between 2005 and 2008. And I think what the department is very good at is in manipulation. It is in victimization. What my colleagues and comrades are talking about here, I faced it at the same hand through the department. And I think for the record it needs to be stated that the people being used by the department are no longer there, and some are still there. And what transpired at Khayelitsha was the fact that before it moved to Khayelitsha, it was housed in Tigerberg. And that is where it all started. Now, I unfortunately no longer have that minute because we've lost our archives. But that minute stated how the department was going to manipulate the system to create that hospital's staffing complement. And Gio Perez at the time was the district manager, used by the then Dr. Chawi Kibadu. Because in one of the meetings, we as the Cape Metro would have quarterly meetings where we hold him accountable. And once the department finds out that you are actually a problem, they have a way of getting rid of you. And they will try anything and everything to get rid of you. Unfortunately, they couldn't get rid of me because we are still standing 8 years after they suspended our funding. 8 years after they thought they were going to shut us up
we still hold them accountable through the APP process and the annual report process, which luckily is tomorrow, so I'm glad that I came today for that irregular expenditure that I will have a question on. So what the department did at Khayelitsha when it officiates, now what happened is that the first commission, there was a long sought after for the site in Khayelitsha. Then the site was found, and then it was a problem, and then it was this, and then it was that. And at that time it was MEC Tiens Botha. And Tiens Botha you couldn't engage with because he just wouldn't take any notice of you. So with the commissioning of the Khayelitsha District Hospital, we asked, with the bulk of staff at Tigerberg, we, and I can say I'm a colored, but I saw something wrong. I saw the problem that the same community of Delft had when Delft was commissioned. Why would we want to say we want equity in the province? And if you look at the provincial leadership, then you must question equity at the lower level because they don't even have equity at the top. So you are not going to get it at the lower level. We can forget about that. So when the commissioning of the Khayelitsha Hospital was done, we then raised the concern. Dr. Teresa's words to me is, Mrs. Kiewicz, you are way too busy in things that don't matter to you. And I said, Dr. Perez, what you're telling me today is going to come back and bite you, because community issues matter to me as an activist. And when things go wrong in Khayelitsha, it's not going to be you that's going to be at the short end of the stick. It is going to be the community of Khayelitsha. The first death in Khayelitsha occurred 8 months after that hospital was opened. And we start questioning. The reporter that did the story is in the room, because I operate with someone on the inside calling me, saying, listen here, here's a story. I said, okay, I'm going to come in undercover. So I go in undercover. Now I can't go in undercover because they know me. And I'm not even allowed to go to Khayelitsha because I went there 3 weeks ago and I was asked, what am I coming to do at Khayelitsha? So the reason why I blew the whistle on the issues at Khayelitsha Hospital was the amount of stockouts that Khayelitsha had at the time, the death that Khayelitsha easy had at the time, the one patient that was a committee member of mine that was laying on the floor in Khayelitsha District Hospital for 3 days without being seen, and that was a great concern. So in 2015, when the new MEC was appointed, who is now Professor French Mbombo, the same issues was raised. Newspaper articles were done, and what did the MEC say? The House Committee are angry because the funding was taken away. We were not angry because funding was taken away. That gave us more guts because now we're free to speak. Not that I was scared to speak and say what I want to, because I don't care who you are, the only person I must be scared of is God. And then we raise those concerns. The department has never really engaged the community of Khayelitsha around the issues happening at the Khayelitsha District Hospital. When I approached the hospital board, which is a complete puppet show, they said, where do you get your information? I said, well, I was in the facility. I met with Dr. Karwa in the boardroom, and Dr. Karwa laughed like a snake. I said, Doctor, what you did at Delft, what you did at Joester, you are doing at Khayelitsha. You have a history in the department. And you know what, Mr. Chair? The department is going to use the same person to commission to a star hospital. So what the department does, if you are their favorite, or they have promised you something, they position you, box you, and hold you somewhere for them to use you. And it's just something I'm sucking out of my thumb. It's the reality. And it's the reality within the department at all levels. It is at the top management where you have one black guy and eight people of other color. Now you ask yourself, a province with 6,000 districts, what's wrong with us? Are we okay with that? And it seems as if the department is okay with that. So the situation at Khayelitsha, and currently at Khayelitsha, because I also went to go and speak to some of the staff, people are scared. People are fearful. The same person responsible for what is happening at Khayelitsha is the same person that had 10 nurses fired at Site C in April of 2014, and he laughed when he had those nurses fired. The same person that is responsible for the maladministration at Khayelitsha District Hospital is the same person for the situation currently at Mfuleni Clinic, where the staff are saying, Mrs. Kiewicz, we miss you guys because we know you would have taken on the department. And so, for me, what the department is very good at is the fact that they can manipulate you. And the one you're scared, because once you're scared, you're not going to talk, you're not going to stand up against them. And Khayelitsha is but one of those facilities where those things happen. We've got Sister de Villiers that was fired for a delay at Kaubema Hospital. So it's Khayelitsha, it's not something immune to you guys. You're not alone. At all the health facilities in this province, there is a problem. People are too scared to talk. And when you want to expose it, the minister runs first, and then she makes a beautiful pate, and the people laugh and take pictures, but at the bottom of it, it's actually gross corruption. And I am prepared to be taken to court for what I'm saying today, because I have been a witness, and I've seen it with my own eyes. When the minister went to the Khayelitsha Hospital Board, the chairperson on the board didn't know what was going on. When the provincial committee asked him to come and account last week, the chairperson on the board didn't know what to account on. So Mr. Chairperson, I feel for the staff of Khayelitsha District Hospital, but so I also feel for all the staff working in the Department of Health. Because the manipulators are the guys sitting at the top. If you don't follow the instructions of Keith Kluter and Gio Perez, you must know you're going to fall. And that is what they're good at. They thrive on it. Just my last comment is the DG that left, Dr. Joey. Gross, inhumane behavior. Sexual comments to staff. And when he was caught out in the last time in 2015, he was not supposed to retire. But then HOD told him, Joey, I think the best thing for you to do is to go on early retirement because you're going to end up in jail. So what happened? Instead of Joey leaving in March of 2016, Joey left in December of 2015. The department will go after you if they have a problem with you. They did it with the Cape Metro, they did it with the late Rita Edwards, and they did it with many other staff in many of the hospitals in this province. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mrs. Kiewicz. I think, can I just give a 5 minutes stress? Stressing. yet, at least 12:30. Let me just inform you that this session is on, is live on TV. So I think 408 maybe will help you. I was not aware of myself. So it's live. Thanks. I think let me give the opportunity to the PSC just to not a presentation per se, just to focus on those things that were raised by the petitioners. And then you can add something. But yeah, over to Public Service Commissioner. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Member, my colleagues from the Public Service Commission, dear colleagues. Honorable Chairperson, we have responded to a request of the Public Service of the NCOP by investigating and conducting an investigation, coming up with findings and a report which was submitted to the NCOP. We have put a very brief report here, about 9 slides, which is talking to all the issues that we found. And I am going to go through it. It's not long. So please, I am going to talk to you. Overview of the presentation, investigation grounded in the constitutional values and principles, step-by-step investigation process, overall findings and specific recommendations, update on implementation of recommendations. Constitutional values and principles, which in short we refer to as CVP. Professional culture, which includes services must be provided impartially, fairly, equitably, and without bias. Transparency must be fostered. The other one is professional behavior. High standards of professional ethics must be maintained. People's needs must be responded to and encouraged to participate in policy making. The other one, systems oversight. Efficient, economic, and effective use of resources. Public administration must be development-oriented. Public administration must be accountable. And the last one is under-institutional, good human resource management and career development. Public administration must be broadly representative. The step-by-step that I referred to, the Public Service Commission investigative team engaged all affected parties during this investigation and gathered all the necessary information. The process included step one, preliminary meeting conducted with the HAU leadership at the institution level. This took place on the 8th of March 2018. Step two, development of terms of reference for the investigation. Step three, investigative meetings conducted with all parties in the HAU, Kailisa District Hospital Management and Metropole Management. These meetings, 19 and 20 March 2018, were conducted to gather oral evidence directly from the complainant, the leadership of the institution, and the regional management. Step four, scrutiny of all documentary evidence provided by all parties. And the HAU provided evidence, and the HR unit of the substructure provided evidence. Step five, analysis of evidence and drafting of report. This included additional evidence requested from the substructure HR unit and requesting other relevant information. Step six, submission of report to PSC chairperson, NCOP chairperson, and engagement with all parties on content and recommendations. Feedback sessions were conducted with each of the parties, including the MEC and HOD of the Department of Health, provincially. The content of the report was discussed and questions responded to by the investigative team. This took place on the 5th and the 6th, June 2018. Overall findings in brief. The PSC found that there was merit in most of the allegations made by NAHAU.
However, the severity and veracity of certain conclusions drawn by Nahau were contestable. The PSC found that while the facts around specific allegations differed, it nonetheless pointed to a level of procedural or systemic failures. In the case of employment equity targets, it pointed to a policy review to be undertaken by the department. The decision-making processes were highly questionable in the case of annual leave payouts and continued utilization of retired staff. Specific recommendations. IMLC, the issues. Number one, IMLC resuscitation. A recommendation. A mediation process to be instituted to normalize relations between the parties. Responsibility Metropole Management. Two, staff shortages and advertising of posts. Recommendation, recommended action. Information to be made available to IMLC members regarding posts, vacancies, and criteria for advertising of posts. Responsibility Metropole and Hospital Management. Three, recruitment and selection standards. Delegations to be revoked as an interim measure. Training to be provided and stringent monitoring of recruitment and selection processes. Responsibility Metropole Management. Four, employment equity. Policy to be reviewed in terms of regional targets. A more nuanced approach to targets must be explored. Responsibility Department Head Office. Five, managing of service providers. A more rigorous measure of monitoring service level agreements to be instituted. Responsibility Hospital Management. 600,000 rand donation. IMLC members to develop a joint plan on activities. Responsibility IMLC. Seven, unused leave payouts. Stringent monitoring to be instituted leading to nil payouts. Responsibility Metropole Management. Eight, skills committee training approval. A protocol and procedure to be developed and communicated to all staff. Responsibility Hospital Management. Staff doctor available for staff. A viable arrangement to be made that allows for access to a doctor. Responsibility Hospital Management. OHSA compliance. An independent evaluation of compliance to be undertaken. Responsibility Metropole Management. Quality care manager post. The contract to end on 30th of June 2018. The post to be advertised. Responsibility Metropole Management. Grievances procedures to be observed. Training provided. Responsibility Public Service Commission. Update on implementation of recommendations. IMLC resuscitation, that's number one. Recommended action. A mediation process to be instituted to normalize relations between the parties. The department's response. Numerous attempts have been made to revive the IMLC with no success. Attempts were even made to ask for assistance from the House Provincial Office with no success. Two, staff shortages and advertising of posts. Recommended action. Information to be made available to IMLC members regarding posts, vacancies, and criteria for advertising of posts. Department's response. The information could not be provided to the IMLC due to the fact that it has not been revised. Three, recruitment and selection standards. Recommended action, delegations to be revoked as an interim measure, training to be provided, and stringent monitoring of recruitment and selection processes. Department's response. The delegations have been elevated to the office of the Chief Director, Metro Health Services. Additional capacity was allocated to the function at hospital level, and the function is quality checked at CD office level as from 1st August 2018. Employment equity, number four. Policy to be reviewed in terms of regional targets. A more nuanced approach to targets must be explored. Department's response. The department has changed its current targets from regional to institutional level. 5, managing of service providers, a more rigorous measure of monitoring service level agreements to be instituted. Department's response, daily inspections are conducted per area. Monthly meetings are held with the service providers, and if needed, penalties instituted. 600,000 rand donation. 60,000 rands donation. IMLC members to develop a joint plan on activities. Response hospital management has committed to a staff function. However, the proposal could not be tabled at the IMLC due to the fact that it has not been revised. 7, unused leave payers. Stringent monitoring to be instituted, leading to nil payouts. The practice of leave payouts has been addressed and stringent monitoring measures have been put in place to prevent the payout of unused leave. 8, skills committee training approval. A protocol and procedure to be developed and communicated to all staff. A response to the department, the implementation of the current SOPs, SOPs, is closely monitored and a process is underway to review the terms of reference of the skills committee and SOPs in question. Staff doctor available to staff. 9. A viable arrangement to be made that allows for access to a doctor. Response, staff clinic is available to staff on a daily basis from 8 in the morning to 12. 10, OHSA compliance, an independent evaluation of compliance to be undertaken. Response, an independent evaluation would be a very costly exercise. The department provides the capacity by way of an OHS nurse per hospital who is qualified to conduct such an investigation and reports annually. All areas in the hospital must be covered over a 2-year period. 11, quality care manager post. The contract to end on 30th June 2018, the post be advertised. Response, the recommendation was implemented. The post is in the final stage of being permanently filled. 12, grievances. Grievances, procedures to be observed, training provided. The training was conducted by the Chief Director MHS in partnership with the PSC over a 4-day period to cover all managers and supervisors in the hospital. Chairperson, this is the brief presentation which is summarized in this few slides, but the detailed report of what really happened and everything that has been drilled to the point is in the documents that were submitted. So thank you. I will stop here.
Thank you very much. You can see the labor officials out. Can you take it over, ma'am? Thank you very much. That's your comment.
Thank you, Chairperson. There are really three areas that the Department of Labor could, two action events who could play a direct role because we've got a mandate to do so. When Advocate St. Leggy comes in, I hope that he does it on time, he's going to talk to the issue of employment conditions and issues around dispute resolutions and collective bargaining, because that's a labor relations issue. It is done through bargaining councils that are an extension of the Department of Labor. So you'll talk to that issue specifically. I just want to make a reflection on employment equity. We've got a mandate there to administratively ensure that institutions comply with the prescript of the Employment Equity Act. I've noted the report of the PSC and the recommendation, but the Department of Labor will come in to conduct a thorough inspection, which is geared towards ensuring that employment equity prescripts are complied with. I need to caution, however, Chair, that the department does not have a mandate to prescribe
racial quotas to institutions, but we do provide a guidance taking into consideration the demographics of a particular area. I've already assigned an inspector, as we are talking, thanks to technology, there is an inspector that is going to go to Khayelitsha District Hospital to conduct an employment equity inspection, and we will provide a report to the committee. That's point number one.
Sorry, I wish that inspector is not coming from the Western Cape. Thank you.
Even if the inspector is coming from the Western Cape, the person will be coming from the Department of Labour, which is a department that is impartial, and we don't get swayed by whatever dynamics are happening in a particular area. So we will do a thorough inspection in that regard. I was at a point where I was saying that we will provide feedback to the committee regarding that. The second area that the Department of Labour is able to intervene is in occupational health and safety. Once again, we've got a legal mandate, to ensure that employers and employees, which combine form a workforce of the country, are not subjected to unhealthy and unsafe working environments. So also in that regard, there's an OHS specialist that is going to conduct an inspection so that you don't have, I've noted what the report of the PSC and the management comment says. It's almost like a person playing with a player and a referee at the same time, because, how do you, complaints are against you, and at the same time you're saying, I'm going to self-inspect, and obviously you're not going to find anything wrong with your own system. So we've got an occupational health and safety inspector that will also come in. I already have an undertaking from my office that that inspection is going to take place as soon as possible. So again, we are going to provide the feedback to the committee, and I'll just share through you, hand over to Advocate Mfeki to talk to conditions of employment and what it is that the department can do. I thank you.
Thank you, Jefferson. Jefferson, in between the presentations, I've noted as well as in your agenda that there were issues of employment conditions. I thought I should comment on this one because we have limited involvement in terms of LRA issues in as far as it concerns public service. However, there are mechanisms that are put in place to actually deal with such issues of LRA. For example, the Bargaining Council is actually mandated to do that in terms of Section 28 of the LRA. But I didn't get a sense as presentations were made that some of the individual cases, other than the ones that are administrative in nature, whether the individual cases followed all the processes to a point where they were referred to the Bargaining Council or the CCMA where necessary. I didn't get that point. So I wanted to actually encourage also the NEHAU to assist in that regard by ensuring that these cases, the individual cases, are actually referred to the correct platforms. And they don't only leave them there, even if they don't succeed in those platforms, and continue to assist to make sure that these cases are referred to the Labour Court, because the Labour Court will be able to rule on these things and take the department where it's wrong to task and correct the matters. That's the point that I wanted to emphasize on. But we'll continue to assist in terms of guidance as the Department of Labour, since we are the custodians of the labour relations. We offer our assistance in that regard. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. We don't have enough time. Only one member. But I can give you 3 minutes to present us, comment, then I'll give it to honourable member now. Then we close. if you want to, I don't want to force you. Do you want to comment? Three, quickly, or no, even two minutes, because we did your presentation. Then we had all the, yes, Honourable Member. Sorry.
I'm sure with the issue of advocate of the labor, I was asking your phone number, and I'm sure now also want your phone number. So, but I'm the shop steward now here, as I told you. So, for now, let me pause there, Jim.
Presenters, do you want to comment? I don't want to force you. Only 2 minutes. You have a minute. 2 minutes, 2 minutes.
Thank you, Honorable. I just want to comment on the issues raised by the Public Service Commission on the issue of recruitment and selection, employment equity, and the quality assurance manager post. Let me start with the issue of the recruitment and selection. Your recommendation on that was that the delegation must be revoked for such an interim period. And in your feedback here, you said, yes, indeed, it has been revoked. Let me inform you that the information that has been given to you by either the Department of the KDH Management is not true. The people who are still doing the recruitment and selection processes at KDH are still the same people that you complained about. No training was provided, whether to HR staff or to managers and supervisors. On the issue of the quality assurance manager post, yes, indeed, the contract has been terminated, but the post has not been advertised. I still remember the day when you were issuing the report to us. You said at least by end of July, the post will be advertised. No post has been advertised. But the information that you've received from the management is that it will be concluded soon. And also on the issue of the employment equity, you said the policy has been amended. We've received no policy from the department. If the policy was amended, then we're supposed to be privy to that policy. It was supposed to be circulated across the department, across the institutions, and also to labor. We haven't received such a policy. And again, I repeat, the information that we've received is incorrect. Thank you.
Mr. Chairperson, just two issues. The commenting on the Public Service Commission, they mentioned that the 60,000 Rand care award given to KDH, the reason why that money has not been used is because the IMLC, it was supposed to be used by an IMLC platform, and because an IMLC platform failed to resume, therefore that issue hangs in the balance. But we contend that our issue in the first place is, why did it take them so many years to actually have a plan and actually act and spend that money? And we're not even sure if that money is still in its original place where it was supposed to be, or are they manipulating something and will come forward with money that was not even that original award so that they can get away with it. So the second thing is that in terms of the failure of the IMLC to reconvene, we cannot sit with people who have got no interest. You see, we cannot sit in an IMLC meeting with people who have no interest in resolving any of these issues. It is a problem for us. There is no difference between us trying to reconvene now and what has happened in the past. And we have provided documentary evidence that documented the failures, why the RMLC kept on collapsing. And we don't think that just because there's no RMLC, that management can't have bilateral discussions with us about certain issues. It's not necessary to wait for an RMLC. And there's certain information that we've always wanted to know about, especially the post, who's in what post at KDH, and how did they get into that post? Why can you only make that information available if you have an IMLC meeting? I don't get that. So I think they are using these things as excuses. I will end there, Mr. Chairperson.
Thank you very much. Maybe that were only two members here today, myself and Makoli. So we are not going to take decisions today. We are going to sit as a committee. First of all, I can see as the petitioners, I'm going to give it to you, Mama Uli, as the petitioners mentioned that you have got an update on implementation of recommendation, which means you sit down with the management before you come here. And if you did, we expected things like this. I thought you would come and respond exactly what the petitioner raised in their application. Even now, I'm happy that there was a whistleblower. People speak openly. Because they talk about fraud that done by Carol. You didn't mention it here in your public service commission. That is it right the person to, because I'm not a labor office, to sit and then after some years then took or take his leave. I mean, take the money from against his leave. I don't know how to put it. I don't see that in your report. We found that also there was a doctor who was not expelled, who was just given 3 months suspension and is still working there. To me, it would look like a rape if somebody is drugging. Then you cannot feel that he was doing a sex. I don't get it in from your report. And I think to me, I'm not sure, but the Labor Department will help us. Somebody just expelled, no hearing. If somebody, I know that no hearing, no minutes of the hearing, no register of the hearing, I was at a kangaroo court. Are we in deterrence? Or in working in government, whereby some in deterrence, I know that farmers just expelled from the Nantico without following the proper channels or the proper, code of conduct of the department. How can a manager, if it is true, maybe the labor will help us, no date of hearing, no venue, no minutes, not even a tape, because I know when you are going to a hearing, you need a tape that shows that there was a hearing. And also, this thing, it was happened in the substructure, And the appeal is also signed by the substructure. Where is the province? If somebody is appealing, it's not appealing to the higher body, maybe the province. Same person who was involved in a case is the one, is also an appeal chairperson. Even then, no venue, no minutes. Nothing shows that there was an appeal committee. So I don't know why they didn't pick up PSC on that, on those things. There are a lot of things that whistleblowers speaking out here, but we didn't get anything. But I don't say your report is not good, but your report, you get it after we have been invited by the office. definitely it means you walked to, you went to the management. Because in their letter, when they're refusing to come, they said you can get a report from the Public Service Commission, which means they are sure that it's either you sit down, you prepare for this report with them, or you didn't even go, you just asked whether that thing happened. Yes, we did it, because it's update. Now, I'm not sure, I don't say you are wrong. And another question is that, did you ask Mama Uguti why the HR cut your benefits before you felt? You didn't pick up that thing, HR. I don't know whether maybe you didn't get briefed by the that there are things happening like that. Did you ask why HR cut up your thing? Do we have an evidence of that your benefits been cut before you've been fired? Before you've been fired?
Yes, I've got an SMS from James that I kept that I was suspended on the 30th of November. On that day, when that DDHR was giving me the last dismissal letter, I asked him, Ofranjo Branch and Sheila McLoon, why did they cut and who's dismissing me? And then Ofranjo said he doesn't know anything about this James thing. And I asked him, is Dora Enobot aware that I'm being dismissed? They said that no, Enobot knows everything because the communication has been gone through. So I did mention that.
I'm going to give hand over to the honorable member to ask questions, clarity. But as I said, that we are not going to conclude. The committee is going to conclude in the space of time.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I thought that maybe every question that is going to be asked here will be written down so that whenever they answer, then we must be able to work towards closing. So that is why now, because as she talks, then I see the gentleman also having a burning issue.
Yeah. I was going to, because this time now it's for members of parliament to speak. Then if we need their response, we'll ask them to speak, if you want to. That's your time.
Chair, I listen to every presentation you have here. Although some of it I went out because the member next to me gave me a document that I peruse and then I understand that. I am only going to recommend in our committee, not now, Chair. But what the case study, there are things that I will say the morale of the staff is very down in that hospital. It's down. You know when you wake up and you go to work, you don't know what is happening to you for the day. It's not nice. Because you know that whenever I entered the gate of my working place, my mood changed. Not everybody wants it. But it was the look of the environment. Even the patients, they don't know whether they are going to get. I don't know, no one talk about resources, because I want to understand, is there enough resources in that hospital? Or even if there's no painkillers, go, there's no painkillers, what must I do? You don't even make me to check at the from a medical area that is there no painkiller. You just say it's not there, and because as much as you undermine the staff, you undermine the community. And I also understand that policies are not followed. But now what policies are not followed, it's very crucial policies must follow. Because I'm sure even those people who didn't come here know that they never follow policies. That is why they don't bother to come. Because those policies will, even their legal, whoever legal team they talk about, knows that they never follow policies. But now, your junior staff must understand the policy. Whereas you were only being put there to harass the staff, not to follow through. And documents being dismissed. It's very crucial. As much as documents it disappears in the offices. Now you ask yourself, what about the folders of the, because that's a hospital. The main document that we need must be there is the folder in the hospital, because it carries your life history. Now, if now this issue is there where they said, sorry, I am HIV, and then he said, listen, go steal that folder there because I don't want ABC to see that I am HIV. HIV is no more a secret. If I get it with my age, I will tell Oliphant where do I get it. And he will decide from there whether he leaves me or he go or I make him dirty. But we had an oath, tell that to us, but so I'm dead now. Shop stewards, before I come into Parliament, I was a shop steward for 17 and a half years. My advice to you, teach your people not to accept a hearing with a phone call. Because there is no evidence there. Any hearing must be in writing. And there must be time frame so that that particular person must be able to prepare for the case. And they must state in that document why is the person being charged on what. Not whether for is there tomorrow. It doesn't work that way. You told the other person on that and say, please can you put that in writing? And give me time to also prepare for the case. So that I must get also a witness and somebody who will help represent me. It does not work. Thy apartheid state as for payments. As for pay, because you know the way I heard you, it seems to me Khayelitsha Hospital is in the rural areas. Even people in the rural areas does not love the way you love them. Because you are holding something that you don't want to leave. And no one is going to tell me, because the MEC is with me, the commission is also with me, labor and will even listen to you. These people are in the inner cage, they don't have know where to go. And Chair, it's for me, I feel like I can crash because I am from there. Then on the last of it, you heard there is a Hitler. Now the question is, who's next? Who is next? Because these people, because of positions, because of anything, they can rather cheat.
a person can die just to remove you. It's either they make you resign or they cheat. Because you've got something that is not yours. If my president of my party, we are working towards corruption. As much as we run on the other provinces, we are going to come in Western Cape. And everybody who's doing corruption will be exposed, and that one is for sure. Because we want corruption to finish. Because this great thing of the corruption makes people to change now and be in the heat. People must go in the heat. Tim Sue's there. Okuba Osendrelinyet. That is how it is. Thank you, Chair. I'll recommend now. I'll keep quiet. I'll recommend when my committee is there. Where to from now?
Thank you very much, Honorable Oliphant. You want to say something, Senator? Yeah, that's short.
Chairperson, thank you very much. Just noting from your remarks earlier, you asked a few questions about the report and whether it covered some of the areas and certainly some of the testimony given here by witnesses. So I just needed to make three points. Chairperson, in terms of our approach, we are only loyal to one thing, and that's the Constitution, to good governance and to the principle of fairness. And that has certainly been our approach. So I just wanted us to be clear about, firstly, that the frame of our investigation was strictly in accordance with the petition that Nahawu made to the NCOP chairperson. So, for instance, the oral evidence now about persons being dismissed and the procedures involved in that wasn't part of our investigation. So I just want us to discern between what we've heard here and the PSC's investigation, that there are some other issues that was not part of that investigation. Okay. Then number two assurance I want to give the committee is to say that in our process, and our colleagues can certainly vouch for it, I believe they will vouch for that, that we've been open and transparent throughout the process, communicating to all the parties, making every opportunity available for evidence, and that remains our approach. And that even up to now, there can be additional evidence that's given. And then just last number three.
Sorry,
yeah.
Did you manage to get the people there? They say that you talked to the management. You didn't go to the people that suffered a lot.
We spoke with Nahawu. And in that regard, they were representative of a whole list of issues. And we trusted that was the proper way. We also asked him for evidence. So which they provided, Chairperson.
So you are not working like us as members of Parliament when we are doing oversight, because we go straight to the people and ask, are you feeling good? Can you tell us what's happening here? You just meet the groups or the management or the group like representative of Nahawu. You don't test exactly what's going on the ground.
Let me also just check, maybe in that regard, remember there were particular allegations that pointed to systemic and procedural failures on the part of the hospital, which we found meriting. And so in terms of our methods, if we just took something like the appointments and recruitment process, that was to say, let's get the oral evidence from the department, from the managers, but also in every single instance, give us the documentary evidence. Because we have to maintain that line of doubt. What you say might be the truth, but there's another version.
Yes.
And we, on every instance, it give us the submission, give us the qualification, give us, and we've got that, all of that, and it's just, so that's just about the three issues that I just wanted to state very clearly. But thank you very much.
Thank you. You know, one day I was asking, because, and you know, Section 9 institutions, you can't say it's wrong or whatever. I was asking the question, because saying that the Western Cape is always good in handling funds, according to the audit report.
Mm.
But say now it's doing good, but go physically. I asked them, do you do oversight when you compare? Because I'm also having a constituent office. Well, I checked from my administrator in Delft. And we request money
from Parliament and then go and do whatever for the constituency. I found that, oh man, other monies are misused. But it's difficult to get that this money is misused because we'll come up with a receipt. Let's say you receipt Vodacom. They know the shops around in debt. So we can query. But they share that money with us, not a buying exactly what we're supposed to do. It's what I discovered. They will say, no, Western Cape is clean, everything. But go physical. Check that they, check the bucket system, check the porta is there. But the audit is always saying, good, well. Now it's what you are telling me that what you are doing when you are doing your investigation. It was what I don't know why. How can we change that? You just get okay. You said there are five people. You make this and this. Then, person submit receipts, submit books. Which books are clean? But if you go there beyond that, you find that these things are not clean. I remember a long time ago. When I was a clerk in those Transkei government, we used to give in to have drove the car. You have to drive a car, and you get a logbook. You put the logbook at the back, and in the month end you have to do a return
balance.
You sit down. We used to call it cook it. Nothing you can get it. But you find that this person didn't go to the places that he mentioned in the book. I don't know how to make sure that we are doing exactly what we're supposed to do. Because as you said, so that according to your guides or whatever, you look at the constitution, you ask the management, why are you not doing that? Give me the receipt, give me the book, and you find everything is fine. Then it is fine. So that's the thing that I think we need to, I don't know how to do this practicality of the thing. But nevertheless, let me thank you, all of you, to come here and to present yourself. We are not fighting, we are not scorpions, we are not, what all those things called? SIUs, no. We are trying to check things and we are going to sit down as a committee. But I asked my secretary to make sure that he writes a letter to the substructure that all the names of the people who are here are protected 100%. The intimidation, whatever, we're going to write that letter. There was also no need of taking a leave when we're invited by Parliament. It's illegal. It's wrong. And the nurses, as I said, I need those nurses who are supposed to come here and they get intimidation. Plus the person who intimidates them. Don't care whether it's a director, I was just waiting for the powers. But I know we've got powers of subpoenaing anybody, even the president, to the committee to come and account. Yesterday, as a chairperson of as petition and executive undertakings, the minister of tourism and COCTA were accounting in front of this comment about the promises that he did at the time of the annual report, on their annual report. Therefore, we have got the right to summon anybody to Parliament. If somebody then is not under this constitution, I don't know where Upila will be living. Maybe it's leaving to another country. As a committee, we have got rights. Where ministers, executive have to come and account to the committees. It's new to hear that, but I think they make things easy because we're not going to be stopped by them. We're going to proceed. And also those supposed to come here, they will come. No matter who says what, they will come. I'm telling you, I promise you, they will come. Even the MEC, even the Premier, if we need her here, she will come. For those words, I think thank you very much for coming. The meeting is adjourned. Thanks.